Five Things Fraser Would Do Differently If Given a Second Chance by Sage, read by Nosferatu Number 9. Number 1. Vecchio. They spent too much time behaving like schoolboys, always one-upping each other when they should have been touching each other instead. Fraser still wonders if Ray would have gone to Las Vegas at all if he'd only reached out, put his arms around Ray's body, pulled him close, and held him. He could have soothed Ray's nervous shoulders with the steady stroke of his hands, his lips not quite touching Ray's ear. He could have stepped back and said, "Good night, Ray," and taken his leave, leaving the choice in Ray's hands to pursue. But that's hindsight, won through 2 years with Ray Kowalski, and is therefore nothing more than an idle flight of fancy. Number 2. Smith Bauer. Their last night together, after finally freeing themselves of Ray Vecchio's presence, was both bittersweet and beautiful. Fraser should have followed. He had sufficient leave accumulated. He could have taken a week and flown north. He considered it for days, for weeks, even. It wasn't easy for a man to start again from scratch, and Mark almost certainly would have been glad of a friendly face. However, in the end, simple cowardice won. 3. Metcalf. If given a second chance, he would not race out into the snow as if it were a typical search and rescue. Knowing what he does now, he would wait out the storm and thereby never meet her, never listen to her beautiful voice reciting the wind over, never hold her cold fingers in his warm mouth, never make love to her in sight of that steeple, never shatter his first true partnership as Ray's bullet had done the bone it struck. He doesn't know if that would have stopped Ray going to Las Vegas, or even if the growing tension between them was inevitable. Perhaps it was all inevitable and ineffable, like his new partner. Number 4. Thatcher. Kissing Meg, for surely she was Meg then, rather than Inspector Thatcher, on the roof of the train was one of the most stunning and aesthetically invigorating moments of his life. The crisp air, the bright sun, the shocking red of their surge against the scenery. It was extraordinary. He would do it again and again, and after the case was complete, he would show her and overwhelm her, and then finally be free of her misapprehension of whom he was willing to be. Number 5. Vecchio. He saw it in a movie, 2 years too late, and in point of fact he wasn't nearly courageous enough at the time to dare it. But what he should have done was consult her, in private, perhaps over a nice herbal tea, on the best way by which to woo her brother. It might have been cruel, but not so cruel as allowing her to waste years of her life living on scraps of ill-founded hope, perpetuating a fantasy. If he'd done it early enough, Francesca might have even become a friend. 1, 2, 3, by Sage, read by Nosferatu Number 9. The first kiss was an accident. He didn't mean for it to happen like that, but Fraser was ducking down and Ray was leaning over, and Fraser smelled so damn good that it took nothing, not a damn thing, to turn his head to the left and brush his lips across Fraser's mouth. Fraser sat up like something had bit him, bolt upright and stake up be damned, and Ray started to get worried Fraser was going to haul off and punch him. But right as he was opening his mouth to backpedal his way out of it, Fraser turned his head and stretched his arm across the seat of the car. "Do that again," Fraser said, voice catching in his throat. Fraser's lips were parted and wet. Ray could see the tip of his tongue just tracing his teeth, impatient. Fraser slid toward him, his left hand rising to cradle the back of Ray's neck. "Ray," Fraser said, eyes dark, and Ray cracked a grin, letting the spark reach his eyes. Letting Fraser see it. Then he was leaning across the seat and pressing their mouths together, the scratch of stubble a shock that opened his eyes and surprised a moan out of him. Fraser groaned back and deepened the kiss, tilting Ray's head to where he wanted it. Clutching Fraser's shoulders for leverage, Ray let the world dissolve until there was nothing but the feel of Fraser against him, Fraser trembling with want, Fraser kissing the hell out of him. With a last nip of Fraser's bottom lip, Ray finally pulled away. He felt Fraser's hand trail over his cheek, sliding away, but Ray caught it and pushed it back where it had been. "Come home with me," Ray said. Fraser looked down, flushing pink, and Ray gently stroked his left thumb along the edge of Fraser's jaw. "We, you know, if..." Fraser's eyes lifted slowly. "Yes, Ray, I'd like that very much." "Good, good," Ray answered, sounding way more relieved than he wanted to admit. So he did the best thing he knew. He leaned in and kissed Fraser again. The End. Home by Sage. read by Nosferatu number 9. Ray came into the house with a load of firewood in his arms. Fraser was sitting stiffly at the kitchen table, watching the steam rise from a cup of tea. He still had his coat on, unzipped, but still. He still had his hiking boots on, which was unheard of. Ray dropped the logs in the box by the stove, then hung his coat by the kitchen door and removed his boots. Fraser didn't say anything. Fraser wasn't even watching. His eyes were on the steam. "You seeing things in your teacup?" Ray asked softly, pressing a kiss into Fraser's hair. He reached around Fraser's shoulders and took hold of the coat. "Give it." Fraser shifted his weight forward, and Ray pulled it off him. He threw it at the coat hook, and it landed perfectly. Fraser smiled. "Almost." Ray dug his thumbs into the tight, tight muscles in Fraser's neck, getting a stifled grunt out of him. "Come on," Ray said, and squatted down on the floor, patting Fraser's thigh. Fraser didn't say anything, and the silence went on for longer than it should have. But Ray was patient. Finally, Fraser scooted the chair back and let Ray grab his nearer foot. The laces were muddy and knotted, and Ray could see why Fraser hadn't had the strength to bother. Eventually he got the knots out and the boots off. Fraser's sigh of relief was a good sound, but the look on his face was still kind of scary. "Drink up," Ray said, jerking his chin at the tea. Then he went to put the boots on the rack, to be cleaned later, and washed his hands at the sink. He watched Fraser sip, then gulp his tea. Color was coming back into his face. It was an improvement. They weren't going to talk about it. Ray knew that. Ray was fine with that. There was a dead Mountie Fraser didn't even know, and a dead Dene woman that he did, and an orphaned toddler wailing in the arms of his grandmother, and none of it was Fraser's fault, but the fallout was all his to deal with. And times like this, Ray really fucking hated the RCMP and their fucked up idea of crisis control. Fraser drained his cup, stood, and put it in the sink. "Bath or bed?" Ray said, putting his arms around him. Fraser leaned in for a soft, almost tentative kiss. "Bed." Things were better naked. Fraser slowly relaxed under Ray's touch. His shoulders were still too tight, but he'd had a day from hell, so he was entitled. Ray kissed Fraser's throat, his chest, the head of his cock, and each of his balls, gently, so gently, as he held Fraser's cock in his hand. "You want me to blow you first?" "No." Fraser sat up and kissed Ray again before rolling over onto his belly. "Do it hard and slow." He tilted his ass up and looked at Ray over his shoulder. "Please." "Any way you want," Ray said, grabbing the lube from the nightstand. He pressed his hand to the small of Fraser's back and drove into him over and over again, slow, slow and relentless, like Fraser needed. Fraser shoved back in time, stretching out every long thrust all the way to the end. Then Fraser shivered, the tension in his shoulders breaking loose and racking his whole body. "Yeah," Ray said, shoving in a little harder. Fraser shivered again and took a long breath as Ray continued to fuck him. "You feel so good," Fraser said, and it came out low, serious. Ray wrapped his arms around Fraser's waist and took his cock in hand, rubbing him to full hardness. Fraser arched his back, picking up the pace, and Ray kissed the back of Fraser's neck as he fucked him, jerking Fraser off in time. "Ray," Fraser moaned into the pillow. "Yeah," he said. "Yeah, Fraser, I got you." Then it wasn't slow at all. It was hard and fast, and it was so intense that Ray could feel it in his teeth. And then they were both crying out, coming together, perfectly in time, because that's what they were. "So good," Fraser mumbled again. Ray flopped over beside him, panting. After a minute, he laid a wet kiss on the nearest patch of skin, which happened to be Fraser's shoulder. "Better?" he asked quietly. Fraser's eyes were tired, but not as sad now, not quite. "Will be," Fraser murmured, and Ray nestled closer, tangling their legs together. Fraser brushed a kiss across his mouth, and Ray held on.